we opened the sermon by reading some verses from James. And of course, James chapter 1 and James chapter 3 talks about wisdom. And I think we probably all agreed here, I didn't go around asking you, but I'm assuming you're a little bit similar to me, that you have a lack of wisdom. And so the exhortation, as well as the promise, is if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And we must ask in faith. It's no good being double-minded. It's not no good wondering whether you deserve it or not. No, you don't. I don't. But this is the gracious God. He longs to give us wisdom so that we will live righteous lives. The things which we've been listening to this morning. Lives that are pleasing to him. That we're not living in a fog all the time. And we sensed that James was particularly thinking of the times when you're really up against it, when you're in a crisis, when you are being persecuted for your faith, when you've got a huge decision, when something dramatic and traumatic has happened to you, like the loss of a partner, a child, like a divorce, like the loss of your business, and so on. Is getting God's perspective. Lord, what do you want to convey to me in this situation? Help me to see it from the eternal rather than just what I'm seeing at this moment in time, the temporary. Because if we are only seeing it in the natural, in the temporary, we will probably just have our own wisdom or somebody else's wisdom, which James says it can be carnal, can even be devilish. But the wisdom that is above is pure, is peaceable, is God's perspective. Don't we want that? We do. I also referred, of course, to the man who is accredited with being a man of great wisdom, Solomon, in the Old Testament. And you will read about that in 1 Kings chapter 3 and also 1 Kings chapter 4, the wisdom that God gave him. God gave him the wisdom because that is what Solomon asked for. He could have asked for anything. He could have asked for a Rolls Royce, a mansion, a jet, or two ponies. He never did. He asked for wisdom. He recognized his inexperience about leading this great nation. And it was a great kingdom. I don't think there's been a kingdom since like it until Christ comes and reigns in Jerusalem. What a kingdom that will be. And it will be an everlasting kingdom because we have an everlasting God. So the Lord gave. Let's just turn to 1 Kings chapter 4. We won't read the whole account and of where his wisdom was tested and he was proved faithful. But in 1 Kings and chapter 4, the last few verses is on page 304. If you have a church Bible, or 305, we'll read verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all of the men of the East and all of the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezraite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all of the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also, he spoke of trees from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop, that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And even Jesus referred to Solomon's wisdom as being like unto his. It was one of the rare occasions in Bible history where God actually spoke to someone in a dream, because he said, Solomon, what do you desire? What do you want most of all? I'm inexperienced. He was possibly 20, 21 years old, we're not sure. He was a comparatively young man. He was going to be tasked with huge responsibilities. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. And of course, the Lord gave him wisdom, as we've just read. But more than that, he also gave him wealth. He gave him honor. Doesn't that remind us of what the Lord Jesus himself said? Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first my will. Seek first that which will be eternal. And then all things will be added unto you. Solomon was a great king. He was famous for his wisdom and riches. It did go downhill. One of the reasons it went downhill was all the jolly wives he had. He had 700. Can you put yourself in his position? Because if you have 700 wives, it means you've got 700 mother-in-laws. Can you believe it? So I'm not exactly sure he was wise all the time. Of course, in the book of Proverbs, which is Solomon's, we see much wisdom. And we see that wisdom dwells with God and is from all eternity. When you read the book of Proverbs and you read wisdom, put Jesus in there. You read wisdom, put Jesus in that verse. We read in one of the Proverbs, now I'll refer to that in a moment because I think we'll read the chapter, but the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the wise man and the foolish man. And that's what they'll be doing in Sunday school this morning. The wise person does what God wants. He's putting God's interest and others first. Don't be a foolish man. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. It's on page 565 if you have a church Bible. And I've said, if you put Jesus where wisdom is written. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, verse 30, we have this verse. But of him you are in Christ Jesus. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. But of him, you who are in Christ Jesus, it is God. We've been hearing about the communion table, and it is for those who are in communion and fellowship with each other and with the Lord. And it is God who has called you, called me, into union and communion with Jesus Christ. And he became wisdom for us. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes a stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all are the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honour are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favour from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. So you see how wisdom is the Lord. Amen? It's wonderful. We do need wisdom. Yes, we do need wisdom when we're in times of challenges, when we're faced with persecution and traumatic things have happened to us. We need to get God's perspective. And maybe even this week you've been challenged in your own daily walk, and you may have done what the natural person does. I guess I may have been there at least once this week. But the correct thing to do is, hey Lord, what is your perspective on this? Give me understanding of the situation. The Lord will even show to you, if we're listening to him, if there's a correction that you need to make. If there's something you need to repent of. He will show you, if we're listening to him, what his heart is and say, okay, you're going to have to go through this. But my grace is sufficient. I will carry you through. And there will be blessing in it and for others. The genuineness of our faith is often tested, isn't it? In the times of trial, in the times of disturbance. We need wisdom. Now, in the Psalms, there is a verse in chapter 48, verse 4. It says, he will be our guide even to the end. He will be our guide even to the end. That's a promise for the people of God. That doesn't only mean when we're in a crisis, when we're up against it, that he wants to be our guide and he wants to show us wisdom. He wants to be part of our daily decision making. I don't mean, do I have to talk to the Lord? Do I put a red tie on or a blue tie? No, this is being silly. But often it does seem, doesn't it, that we give such little thought to guidance and wisdom until we are in a crisis or until an important decision has to be made, such as what subjects should I study? Should I date this boy, this girl? What job should I take? Often I think it's not guidance that we're actually wanting, but we're looking for a shortcut. But the key to knowing whether we really want God's wisdom, God's guidance, is by asking, how often do I seek it when I'm not in a crisis? How often do I seek wisdom? How often do I seek understanding? How often am I saying, the Lord, direct my path? God wants to give us of his wisdom. He does. He wants to liberally give us his wisdom. The wisdom, as we have even read just now, the wisdom which created heaven and earth, and that we might use it for life. You see, human wisdom can never solve life's problems. Only God knows the ways of men. In that great psalm, the longest psalm, Psalm 119, there's many nuggets in there. One which we all know, Psalm 119, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of... Actually, that isn't Psalm 119. I've just watched our sister's mouth going. It's Psalm 111, I think, isn't it? It's Psalm 111, not Psalm 119. But it's Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Respect for the Lord, in awe of the Lord. I want to be in a right relationship with God, and if I am, I will acknowledge him, I will respect him, I will fear him. It's the beginning of wisdom. He longs then to give us that wisdom. We must, friends, make God the starting point for our quest for wisdom. We must make God the beginning, our quest for wisdom. Another proverb, in Proverbs chapter 21, it says this: there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. That God's going to win anyway. You might as well be on his side. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says, and how from infancy you have known the scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation. We have the word of God. And Timothy, from the age of 5, would have been reading the Old Testament. And Paul says, hey, God gave you wisdom as you read that. He gave you understanding. He opened your eyes. He gave you revelation. We have the whole canon of Scripture. How fortunate and blessed we are. I am quoting from Psalm 119 now. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The Bible will give you wisdom. It will give you the wisdom that you need. Someone said, science is organized knowledge, but wisdom is organized life. The Apostle Paul, again, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, says this: see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. God's wisdom will help you to redeem the time. You're not wasting time. You're redeeming it. The Lord knows the days are evil. He knows your circumstances. He knows what you're up against, but he says, I want to make you wise. I want to give you understanding. I want to give you my perspective. Don't be a fool. Because fools say there is no God. They don't need his wisdom. But those who want to walk with him say, hey, I need you. I need your understanding. I need your perspective. I need to see it from eternity's point of view. That will help me to persevere. Colossians 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom to those who are outside, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom. Walk in Jesus. Walk in Jesus. Christ's life in you. Set your heart, set your affections on things above, not on things below. Walk in wisdom, redeeming of the time. And then that verse goes on. Let your speech be seasoned with grace, and always with grace, and seasoned with salt. Let your speech, let your conversation always be in grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. Proverbs, of course, talks a lot about speech, doesn't it? It talks a lot about our conversation, those who oppose us, how we should react. Again, I think I quoted already from Proverbs 29 as I've been meditating on it, but in verse 11 it says this, a fool gives vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Now you may say, but hey, Pastor, you know, I come from Yorkshire. I come from, we just give it as it is. We really, you know, we say it as it is and we don't care two hoots. We just give it to them. No. That's the old person. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, self-control. Our conversation shouldn't be like is going on in the pub. Unless you're a Christian in the pub and having a good conversation. Do you know what I mean? You were that old creation. Now you've been redeemed. Wisdom. Okay, God, you know this is one of my weaknesses. You know I shout forth and then think later. Admit it. Confess it. The Lord will help you. That's part of the transformation process. Part of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. You're not on your own. You've got God to help you. His life flow through you. His Spirit flow through you. We've quoted from Colossians. We've quoted from Ephesians. The Apostle Paul talks a lot about wisdom. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, he speaks about his desire and that his fellow Christians should be wise about what is good and innocent, pure about what is evil. Because wisdom discriminates between good and evil, good and bad. In Colossians chapter 3, he instructs Christians to teach and admonish one another. How? Well, certainly in love, but with all wisdom. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, with Christ mind, with Christ attitude, with Christ words. So what is wisdom? What is this wisdom which is to be the basis on which decisions are to be made? Yeah, surely it is having the mind of Christ. It is having that ability to distinguish of what is going on and whether it's going to be spiritually right, spiritually beneficial in the choices that we make. Are they going to be good consequences or bad? What is spiritually expedient in each given situation? What is spiritually? Let me give a couple of examples. Now, I was going to use somebody this morning, but they're not here, as a good example of this. But let's take employment. Let's take our work. Now, you may be faced with two choices, A and B. Now, neither may be wrong. They might be both good choices. So what will guide us? What does wisdom say about the situation? What does wisdom say? Well, first of all, we may be faced with the opportunity, if we take this job, that quickly we'll get promoted. Now, that might be a good thing. Wisdom might be telling us, that is what I want for you, because you'll be able to handle the responsibilities that go with promotion. You'll be able to handle the extra finance which comes your way, because you're spiritually mature, and it will be used wisely. Or wisdom might be saying to you, hey, if I do, it's very attractive, I like the benefits, but actually, it's going to take too much of my time. It's going to put my family under strain. There's a danger that I become a workaholic. I might not be able to fellowship with the Lord's people as often. So is it spiritually expedient or spiritually inexpedient? Those are the decisions. Wisdom will help you. God's guidance will help you. There may be nothing wrong with either job, but what it will lead to. God's wisdom, you know, many are the ways that we plan, but God directs our paths. That's what he wants. He wants the best for us. He wants us to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. We don't have to walk completely in the dark. You see, wisdom always keeps before us what is spiritually best, rather than so often when decisions are made, they are taken on the basis of what is materially best for us. Now, friends, we know, don't we? We see it all over the place. Material riches don't necessarily make anyone content and happy, do they? They don't make for happiness and contentment necessarily. They are only a blessing if God intended you to have them. They're a blessing then if that's what God intends you to have. And he can trust you in being a good steward of them. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. So don't fight against it. Secondly, lastly, concerning dating and marriage, we need wisdom. We need God's understanding. We need God's perspective. Is it right to date somebody and get serious with someone? Well, again, God gives us a lot of wisdom in this. Now, we can choose to accept it or reject it. One of the wisdom scriptures is, don't be yoked with anybody who's walking in dark, who's in the dark. If you're a child of light, don't hook up with a child of darkness. That's wisdom. What fellowship has the believer with those who are working darkness? That's wisdom. It's for our good. Short term and long term. These are things which will help us. Are they in Christ or are they not? Now, we can use our own logic, and we've all done it in certain situations. I know that. I will be as guilty as you, and possibly more so with the light I've been given. But we try and reason these things. We have a bargain with God, don't we? I know your word says that. But 6 months down the line, I'll have won them for Christ, you know. You do this for me. But actually, we need wisdom, and we need to be obedient. The Lord knows. divorce? Are they divorced? What is the biblical patterns? That will help us. We know what the scripture says. What is their attitude to money? Are they spendaholics? Will they be reformed? You know, these are things which wisdom. Are we able to communicate openly and honestly? Are they giving us pressure to compromise sexually? You see, sexual messages are all around us. Turn the television on. They're there. Certain magazines, they're there. It is a challenge. It's a challenge, young people, to wait until you're married. It's a challenge. It goes against the wisdom of the world. But it's God's best. And especially if your girlfriend or boyfriend or your friends are pressurizing you to do it. Wisdom. So many things can control our lives. Peer pressure, drugs, alcohol, insecurity. They can all make you a slave to them. Slavery is the opposite of freedom. But you can be free. We can be free when we know the truth. And the truth that Jesus talks about, because he will show you how to handle all of the things that are facing you. Jesus told his disciples, he told his people, the people who had faith in him, if you keep on obeying what I have said, you truly are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, this is God's plan for you, for me. Wisdom is important to find good advice that will never change. That kind of advice, that kind of wisdom comes from above. It comes from Jesus. It comes from God's Son. This is what he says finally in Matthew chapter 7. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 7. I refer to this right at the beginning, and it's interesting that the older children are looking at this morning. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And as the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. Great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus' wisdom has the right answers for you, whether you're young, middle-aged, or elderly. Actually, Jesus chose to follow them himself. You remember when he was 12 years old and he was up in the debating and speaking the scriptures, and they were absolutely astounded at him. You see, this kind of advice, it comes from Jesus. He has the right answers. Believe me, he has the right answers. Young people, when you're faced with all of the human logic, the human wisdom, which is a lot of nonsense when it talks about evolution and all these other things and the global warming and so on, we need to get the wisdom of Jesus, don't we? Do you know, he does have the right answers. And he is willing to share them with anyone who asks him. What a good God. What a God of grace. Anytime you need wisdom, ask him. He will give you. The Lord will give you direction as you proceed. Yes, there's plenty of instruction in his word. Don't go against wisdom's advice. The danger is you'll eventually have your heart hardened and you won't be listening. You won't be able to hear the voice of God. But if wisdom declares that the right boxes are ticked, you can expect God's blessing, God's peace. I said last week, don't let anything other than God be the center of your life, because everything else is subject to destruction and death. God alone is wisdom. God is unchanging. He's full of love. He's full of compassion. And it's all seen in his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is wisdom. Oh, another wise saying is, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Finally, that's probably my third one. Christmas. Why did Jesus come? To come, to free us of our debt. Didn't he? He's come to bring freedom, to free us of our debt, of our bondage to sin, of our debt. He took our debt upon himself. Please, friends, you may be financially pressurized. Don't go into debt this Christmas. That's wisdom. Don't go into debt. You may have to explain to your children, your family, that all they'll be having is a cardboard box and a packet of Maltesers. They'd be quite happy. I know my children, they spent more time with the boxes and the cartons than they did with whatever. Bless them, just talk to them. I don't think that is wisdom from above, but you know what I mean? The Lord bless you and encourage you. Amen.